All right, I got a prayer request. I do. I met a girl over at Walmart parking lot, and I wanted to pray for her. She said her name was Sadie. Sadie. I said, "How do you spell that?" And she said, "S A R A Y." I said, "That's Sarah." She, yeah, that's it in English. I said, "Are you Mexican?" No, I'm not Mexican. Well, she couldn't speak very good English. I said, "Well, are you Puerto Rican?" No. She said, "I am French." I said, "Parlez-vous français?" She said, "Oui." I said, "That's all I know, honey. That's it. I can't go no further than that." But she was having trouble. She didn't have any money. She had a rent due in 2 days. She had four kids and her little sister living with her. And she was probably about 35 or so, 30 or 35. And a little old bitty thing. Gosh, she wasn't 4'10", I guess. And so I prayed with her, and I asked her, "Are you Catholic?" And I couldn't get a good response out of her. She went to jabber, and I couldn't understand it. And so I said, "Okay." I said, "We're going to pray." And so I prayed a prayer of provisions upon her, and I gave her some money, and I went off, and I stood there for about 30 minutes talking with, trying to talk with her. And finally, we both got into the translation deal on our phones and started talking to one another that way. And so we made a lot of progress in that respect. But anyway, I showed her pictures of my great grandchildren, you know how people sometimes do. She was very appreciative. And she said, "Oh, God sent you to me." I said, "Well, probably, but we're going to pray." And we prayed, and I left her. And I got down the street. I went and got my truck and got on down the street. And I went to grab my phone, and my phone was not in my pouch. I said, So I stopped immediately, and I looked all in the truck, called myself looking in the truck. And I couldn't, so I went back to Walmart, and I went to down where I was parked, and I thought maybe I might have put it on the top of the truck or on a toolbox or something, and it fell off when I took off. And I didn't see it, and so I went and I hunted her up. I asked her, I said, "Have you seen my phone?" She said, "No, I only have my phone," or making those gestures. And all of a sudden, these two men from Walmart started yelling at her, telling, "Get out of here, get out of here. Leave the parking lot." And I said, "What is that all about?" Anyway, she took off, and I went over to the guys. I said, "What's the matter with you guys?" I said, "Oh, we can't have panhandlers over here in the parking lot." I said, "These people are hurting." I said, "She's got four kids. We can't help it. That's what we're here for. We got to run them out of the parking lot." I said, "Well, what about that guy that's been sitting on the corner up there for the last month begging? That's not our property." I said, "Okay." So I just left it alone. But so I went on home, and I was going to call David on my phone and tell him to call my phone so I could find my phone. And I said, so I got home, and I pulled up the driveway. Yeah. And I pulled up the driveway, and I hollered at David. He came, and I said, "Call my phone." Anyway, I was taking stuff in that I had gotten. And I went back out to listen in the truck to see if I could hear my phone. Maybe fell under the whatever. And I couldn't hear it. He finally come back to the door. He said, "Michael, it's in here." I said, "How in the world did it get in there?" I said, "Them angels is fast, boy." And it had fallen into one of the Walmart sacks. What's the stuff in there? I said, "Praise God," because I could just imagine going through all of that stuff and getting, shutting it off and doing this and doing all of that stuff that you have to do to protect yourself. But it was awesome. I just thank God. I just went around praising God for an hour and a half. You know, thank you, Lord, for getting my phone back. So that was God. That was God. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a prayer request? All six of you, five of you. Hey, Andrew. Everybody's, what's the matter with y'all? Y'all scared? We command that fear out of this bunch in the name of Jesus. Hey, Andrew. Hey, George. Well, I saw his forehead. Hey, Barbara.
Hi.
She's hiding too. Hey, Andrew. He's hiding and he ain't talking. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? I posed a question earlier, and I thought we might talk about that unless somebody's got something else they want to talk about. And what I had was, I have to go look here right quick if you don't mind. If you do mind, it don't make no never mind. What is more incapacitating, being spiritually blind or being physically blind? That's the question that came up with me today. Which is, let me see if I can put it in there in the chat. Yeah, I am. I can. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Sure will. Okay, let me put this in there. They can be thinking about it, and I'll go get that other. All right. Who is that? Ah, hear me. Oh, that's Andrew. Hello, Andrew. Can you hear us? Yeah, okay.
Andrew, it doesn't look like your mic is working.
Andrew, on your settings for your microphone? Since you don't have your headset on, make sure it should be marked as same as system. Try that.
Okay, there it is in the chat. Say something, Andrew. Something. Can't hear you. I'm gonna try to wait, Jillian, until Debbie gets on and let her give it. I think she'll probably be on. Let me make sure. Boy, I had a wonderful day with the Lord today. It was an awesome day. Did anybody else have a good day with the Lord? Okay, Julie. Hey, Pat. Yeah, praise God.
Can I share something?
Sure.
the Lord has had me in, I was in Psalm 74 for a couple weeks. And then I ended up in Psalm 44 today. And interestingly enough, it almost has the same theme. And when I was starting to see through Psalm 74 is that the Lord raises up opposition against his people. Even in 74:1, it says, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Maskil of Asaph. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why does thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? It says, remember thy congregation, which thou hast gotten of old, which thou hast redeemed to be the tribe of thine inheritance, and Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. We all, have studied and have come to understand, what Mount Zion represents, in the bride and in the hundredfold, life of Christ within us. But I notice, like in verse 3, he says, lift up thy feet unto the perpetual ruins, all the evil that the enemy hath done in the sanctuary. Thine adversaries have roared in the midst of thine assembly. They have set up their ensigns for signs. And if you take, it's in verse 7, it said, they have set thy sanctuary on fire. They have profaned the dwelling place of thy name by casting it to the ground. They said in their heart, let us make havoc of them altogether. They burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. And yet, down in verse 12, it says, yet God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Excuse me. And then from that point on, he starts to brag on God and explain, reveal and remember who God is. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the sea monsters, etc., etc. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And in verse 18, he says, remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people hath blasphemed thy name. And I was reading this, and it is apparent that God raises up opposition, even in the midst of our congregation, in the midst of the church today. But I think what I was seeing the most of is that he raises up and gives strength to that flesh, that carnal life within us, to rage and oppose us. And it seems to be typical in the scripture. And I got to thinking and, you know, pondering that as to why that is. I went over to, again, I said I ended up in Psalm 44 and looked at the same situation. In verse 2, thou didst drive out the nations with thy hand, but them thou didst plant, thou didst afflict the peoples, but them thou did spread abroad. That wasn't where I was looking. In verse 4 says, thou art my God, O my King, O God, command deliverance for Jacob. Through thee we will push down our adversaries. Through thy name we will tread them under that rise up against us.
I've lost you. Where are you?
Psalm 44.
Okay. Well, I went from 44 to the 74 and then the 34 and the, so I didn't.
Sorry about that.
I got mixed up. That's probably me. All right. So we're in.
Yeah, I'm in Psalm 44.
Okay.
Verse 5. It says, through thee, we will push down our adversaries. Through thy name, we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our adversaries and have put them to shame that hate us. And then the next line, it says, in God we have made our boast all day long, and we will give thanks unto thy name forever. The last two psalms, 74 and this psalm, I'm getting the picture as I'm reading them that the Lord raises up our adversaries, whether they be within or without, he raises them up in order that we might overcome through his strength and his name, his power. But in every one of these psalms, David or the psalmist goes back to, he ends, or part of that psalm is he ends up praising God, and remembering the things that God has done. Even of old, even if it's not specifically in my life, but in the lives of others, in the scripture even, all the way back. But it always ends up with praise. And I'm beginning to become more and more convinced that the overcoming of the obstacles that we face, again, whether within or without, are only through God and by praise and thanksgiving for what he has done. And I'm beginning to see that that is a key because it breaks that bondage within, it breaks the bonds within us that prevent us from breaking out, I guess you might say, breaking free, getting out from underneath the carnal influence of this world and entering into that freedom of his spirit, walking in his spirit. I guess I'm just, I'm kind of rambling, but I think the Lord has me around that specific thing of praising him for what he has done, and being openly thankful, openly praising him. And so I'm speaking that tonight as a prayer for myself, that the Lord would develop that, which he would bring that forth out of me. And you know, I think even what Michael was saying tonight, it seemed, what is there, fear or something that is in our midst? And I felt that in me, just an anxiety or a fear of, I'm just asking the Lord to break that. I know he's laying a foundation of understanding, but the breaking of that, I think, is the walking in that truth. And that's what I feel I need, is to break out and walk in that truth, that praise for what he has done, and giving him thanks and glory, even in the midst or the lack of the seeing of it. Just exactly what we're being taught in the last few months about faith. We're not, you know, I don't necessarily see it, perceive it right now, but I know it's mine. I know it's there. I know it's mine. And the entering into that, I think, is the process of praising God and thanking him, even ahead of seeing it with my physical eyes, but to see it with my spiritual eyes. So I guess I'm back to your question again. What is more devastating, a lack of spiritual sight or a lack of physical sight? So I have to, might as well throw my 2 cents worth in. It's spiritual sight, no doubt. But anyway, I wanted to share that. I think the Lord is working on me, in this particular area of my life. And I praise him for, what he's done, and the freedom and the boldness and the peace, that passes all understanding, and just the, anointing of his presence, in my life and in our lives, and to set us free. And so, Father, I thank you, for your gospel. Thank you for your truth, your word, that we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. And so, Lord, I'm just thanking you for giving me and giving us all the grace to apply that truth and to praise you for the outcome, the overcoming that the word is an overcoming that you provide us in boldness of our conversation, even before those who don't know you. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your grace, and thank you for your truth Thank you for loving us and guiding us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you. And I believe with Pat that he is already seeing in the spirit. I praise you for that, Lord, walking in the spiritual realm. And I praise you for that, Father. Thank you for opening everybody's spiritual eyes and ears to hear and to see the things of the spiritual realm, Lord, because they are more important than the things in the natural realm, because the things in the spiritual realm guide the things in the natural realm. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. I have a couple of things that I want to do kind of quickly here, if I can. I want to play a song that I like, and then I'm going to give you the word that came to us Monday night through Debbie, and she wanted me to read it, so that's fine. I'll read it. But let's listen to the song first and get your mind into the spiritual realm. How about that? All right. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right, let's see. Wait a minute. There it is. Okay, just I had it on the wrong word. Excuse me. Well, I'm going to have to come back out and do it again. Just give me a little time here, folks. I'm kind of, yeah, here it is.
I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break. I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. And all will believe. power of his name. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and touch. Stand face to face. Come and lay it all down. 'Cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed by rivers of grace. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right.
Oh, got to unmute myself. It works better that way, doesn't it? You can hear better that way, I bet you. I just bet you. Oh, I said this was Monday night, but this apparently wasn't because it was dated 8 and 4. I don't know. Which day did you get this, Debbie? Sunday? That would have been Sunday.
Yes, yeah, I think so, yes.
Okay, thank you. Stephen McWhorter. All right. She got a word from the Lord that I'd like to relate to y'all if you'd like to hear it. And it's a good word. It's a very on-time word. So I'm kind of waiting until I guess everybody's going to be here. He's already here. I hate 10. Okay. Here we go. She titled it, There Is No More Time, on 8/4/24. She said, yesterday, I heard the Lord speak. There is no more time. When I was praying and doing spiritual warfare, I sat waiting and listening for him to say more. But I didn't hear any more until today. Hang on. Oh, that was a good one too. All right, let's go back. Excuse me for that. The enemy don't want y'all to hear it, but he's going to hear it. I don't care what he does. She says, yesterday I heard the Lord speak. There is no more time. When I was praying and doing spiritual warfare, I sat waiting and listening for him to say more. But I didn't hear any more until today, when I purposed with my pen and tablet to hear what more he had to say on that. Then I heard. My dear ones, you are my pearls, my prized gems. You are the love and desire of my heart. You are my chosen from before the very beginning. You are my choice. I want you as my bride. And so I say to you, there is no more time. I say again, there is no more time. It is now or never. Now is the time for groundbreaking overcoming. Let it be witnessed among you, all things being of divine newness. I'm going to say it again. Let it be witnessed among you, all things being of the divine newness. I have cleansed from you those who were seriously lacking, those who were lagging, and those who would not touch the divine. They have been taken out from among you. Your perfecting is almost complete. No more looking back at anything to hinder you in my purpose that I have for each of you. Only look within your hearts for any need of repentance, and repent and be wholly new. Now is the victory over your enemies. These demon spirits that have been speaking unworthiness to you. But now is the time to boldly proclaim unrelentingly that they are liars. They are against what is divine. This fight goes on, but not to fight within your own mind and heart. That time has ended. There is no more time for that. There is only time for engaging in spiritual warfare, knowing that you are the victor in casting Satan and his demons down and putting them under your feet. Yes, it is time for my desire of the ages to come forth in fighting victory, glory to God. Know who you are. Speak who you are. Speak to each other who you are. Call out to the enemy who you are. You are my perfected divine overcomers. I see the lights of my divine ones covering the earth, all joining together in one soul, one mind, and one spirit with one purpose. I am rising up in all of you, for I am your strength to engage and to overcome. No more defeat. Defeat is forbidden, for it is only I in you and you in me. Weaknesses in you are defeated. There cannot be defeat, and there is no time for defeat. Now is the time for victory, for I have prepared you. I have cleansed and healed you of so much. You have overcome in your own sufferings, battles, and all constant attacks against you. Now see and encourage each other as being what I am saying of you and seeing in each of you. Always encourage one another. This is part of your overcoming. And you will continue in your pursuit of only me. There is no time to pursue any lesser thing. Remember, I have said there is no more time. Praise be to God forevermore. Glory be to God. How many of you feel the victory? Glory to God, I do. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Father, that we all are victors with you with us. And we praise you for that, Lord. You are our shield and our sword. And we praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we're all overcomers. Nothing else matters now from this day forth but you, Lord. And I'll thank you for it in our lives, Lord. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Has anybody got a word or a question or anything about what God's talking about? Yeah, Jenny.
I had a question for Debbie. Debbie, did you feel like as you were getting that word from the Lord, did you get a sense of anything specific that you can share as you were receiving that and you were hearing him speak that would bring any more light, or as you had time to think about it and has he spoken anything more about it? Or I'm just wondering what your sense was as you received that.
No, I just received what he was saying, and I don't receive anything else. I mean, in myself, for myself, I did. You know, I really felt like he was speaking to me, and yet I assumed it was for everybody. But and then I just want to say that since I gave it, boy, he's really been attacking me. I know it's the enemy. I don't want to give in either. You know, I want to overcome my purpose too. And but today was so hard. Today I had the real feeling of, it was like, just go back to your family. This happened before, but it's not so hard as this today. Just go back to your family, just because of fighting's within myself, you know? And so, and it felt so much like, yeah, that's the thing to do. Yeah, that's the thing to do. And I realized, thank God, you know, that, you know, that he let me realize, get him under my feet, Satan, you know, putting him under my feet. You're a liar. Yeah. You know, this is you speaking. This is not God. And I'm not going to give into this because I'm just not going to. And so I just want to rise up victorious and not, I am. I'm just declaring I'm going to speak. I'm victorious over all things, and the enemy's not going to have me condemn myself over things. And that's why I knew he was really speaking to me, but I knew too it was for everybody because we all are dealing with things and like that, that God is, he says we're overcomers, but he's finishing it off right now. He's finishing
I can tell you something.
Right now.
Yes. This is an encouragement. This is not a condemnation. This is an encouragement to us all because it's God himself that's making us overcomers. And all we need to do is just praise him and thank you, Lord, for doing that in all of us. That's all we need to do.
Amen.
When I read that, Debbie, I just jumped up and shouted, glory to God. We already here. Praise God because we are. We're all overcomers. You remember we had a lot more people in the fellowship, didn't you? We had 40 something when I came here. Yeah. Now we got almost single digits, but that's all right. Yeah. Praise God. This is the overcomers. These are the overcomers. You are the overcomers. Everybody is the overcomers. Yeah. If you believe, and I believe, everybody here believes.
Amen.
And if you don't believe, we're going to drag you in anyway. Praise God forevermore.
I felt before Julie spoke, I thought we could all just declare.
Yeah.
Declare we're overcomers. That we right here, we declare that we're overcomers. I mean, yep. I don't know if we do it.
Every one of
us. What, but just to do it. So, yes.
Everything we failed with in the past is in the past, and God doesn't even remember it. What are you talking about? You're overcomers, praise God. That's what he's telling us. He said, you're overcomers. You are overcomers, and I'm there to help you. And that's what he's doing. I praise you, Father, for doing that. We're all going to make it to the end of the line, praise God. Glory be to God.
Amen. That's awesome. Seal it with your word, Lord. We seal it with your word, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Amen. Praise God forevermore. And don't let the devil tell you, well, that's for you. You failed. You're not going to make it. And like David said, go back home, you know, that kind of stuff. No, this is an encouragement. You've made it this far. You're going to make it to the end now. That's what he's saying. You're going to make it to the end, glory to God. Everybody
we
is.
We are.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you,
yeah,
Jesus.
It's not a condemnation. It is a encouragement from the Lord himself to each and every one of us. And I believe that with all my heart. And I know that we're going to all, every one of us, I think every one of us are overcomers. Most of you have been here since the beginning. Yeah, glory to God. Praise God. We're all overcomers now. And don't let the devil tell you you're not because you are. The Lord told you you were. I just read it. He said, you are overcomers. Glory to God. God has given me a pat on the back. He's given you a pat on the back, Pat. He's given you one, Andrew and Debbie and Joe and Missy and George and Barbara and Vanita. And then there's Julie. Amen. We're all overcomers. Glory to God. Yeah, that's what I thought about it. I said, look at this. God is already patting us on the back. We almost made it. Well, we have made it. Bless God. We have made it. Woohoo! Glory to God. Go ahead, Patrick. Put the yellow hand up. What's the matter?
I was just... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking of another psalm. And it kind of goes along with what I was saying before and lifting up praise even in the midst. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? And I think the Lord takes us to this place, to set us free from that place, He raises these things up in our lives to bring us to that place, I believe, where we praise him. We recognize that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he is able to generate every necessary influence in our life in order to bring that out, in order to bring us into him, into his life. And even in the midst of, I cry in the daytime, but thou answerest not, and the night seasons, and I'm not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. He inhabits our praise. Even in that sense where we're being crucified, he inhabits our praise. That's where he is at. And I just think that, He is the Lord that has us in this place. He will and is teaching us to overcome, and overcoming by that praise and thanksgiving and worship to him and bringing him into our midst, in the midst of these obstacles. So, Father, I just thank you. I praise you, Lord, for you are that author and finisher. You take us through these things to bring forth the patience within us and allow it to do its perfect and perfecting, its completing work within us. and bring us into this place of faith and trust and confidence and strength and absolute reliance upon your ability as opposed to ours. So, Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you for you are making us. You have made us overcomers in you. And I thank you for it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I believe with Pat, we all are. Okay, Missy.
When you said earlier about we're all still here, you know, it reminded me of back in 2016, a sister that I was close to when I lived down there for a while. She left in faction and all, and I don't remember exactly what it was I said to David or whatever, but I was just kind of like stunned, saddened or whatever. And I was like, I don't know, like kind of wondering why, you know, I wasn't taken out, you know. Anyway, David said something to the effect, well, you're still here and she's not, you know. So, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your grace, your long suffering with us all, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for working in our hearts to will and to do of your good pleasure and bringing us on, Lord. Your grace is incomprehensible. We just praise you and thank you. We love you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I remember what David said when he asked the Lord, Lord, why are these people all factioning? I forget the main question he asked, but the Lord said, told him, he said, well, you don't want these people in the tribulation with you, do you? No, no, no. So that's why he cleans them out. So he'll have Jesus followers with him. Jesus lookalikes. I should put it that way. We're all lookalikes. And that's what we all should start doing. Don't go out looking like Michael or Julie or Patrick or Andrew. Go out looking like Jesus. Go out looking like, yep, Jesus, it's me and you. Yeah, that's right. The rest he cleans up. And that's what he's doing right now. That's what he is doing even as we speak. These things that he's getting out of us is for one thing. And that's to help out the next little bit. For the next 7 years. Yeah, go ahead, Julie. Julie, what's your name, Missy?
Julie and I were talking the other day, and a question kind of come up. And, you know, there's ones we know that we're hoping and believing that are going to be back. And these ones, do you think they'll be back in time to be in the bride? Or man, child, either one? Mainly bride, I'm thinking.
Well, I pray that they are. But I pray that there are some that are going to be back. In fact, I know there's going to be some back, but they better hurry up. Because we're right. Yeah, we're right there. We're close. We're very close. Listen, whatever is lacking, just listen to me now. whatever's lacking, God's going to take care of it. All you need to do is just believe. Just believe. I am an overcomer. I'm overcoming, and I'm keeping my mind on Jesus. And that's all that matters right now. He said, what did he say? Time's out. Time's up. And that what he says? No more time. No more time. We're through. Just believe that you have already attained. Everybody here start looking just like Jesus. Julie, you're growing a beard. Or something. But anyway, I'm not trying to make fun of that, but what I'm trying to get us to understand is that we always got to keep our mind on Jesus. Keep our mind on Jesus. And when you keep your mind on Jesus and his character and his name, you'll be in good hands. You'll make it. Always. Always. And I'll tell you something. Jesus has a real sense of humor. He does. I found that out myself. I mean, look at me, for goodness sake. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Julie.
I'm not growing a beard. I don't know where you got that.
No, I'm just kidding.
Sure who you were comparing me to. What was coming to me is, you know, as we were just talking about all that, is the you know, how God chose the fewest, you know, to do his great mighty works, like Gideon, his army. You know, he kept whittling them down and whittling them down and the limit, you know, removing people that were, you know, didn't fit the, you know, the for his purposes. They were fearful or, you know, just different things. They didn't believe, you know, all kinds of things and all of that scriptures mean, but, you know, they were few. They were few in number. And it's becoming that. And then the other thing that was, depending on the Bible translation, was, I'm going to read Revelation 17:14. These shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they also shall overcome that are with him, called the chosen and the faithful. And I think in my Bible, it has, the few, the chosen and the faithful or something like that. The few, the chosen, and the faithful. But I'm looking at another translation here. Call to you, chosen and faithful. Anyhow, they're few. They're few in number. So I don't know where I got that. But they're not very many. You know, it's a remnant. It's a remnant of people that get weeded out. And it's, the more I think about, you know, just as we've been talking before and thinking about how many people have come and gone and how many people used to be in the outreach with us. And, you know, and I know some people, you know, just because their lives change and they can't be here and that kind of thing, not always here, but just how many people have left. And, you know, it's overwhelming and I'm so grateful. And I know the Lord has kept me. You know, it wasn't anything I did. I could have been one of those just as easily as, you know, them, that I could have fallen out. And, you know, he's very gracious and he, you know, it's just, many are called and few are chosen. And, you know, we're supposed to make our calling and election sure. And you know, God wants us to be, to love him and obey him and keep his word and keep fighting the good fight of the faith. And I'm grateful for David and Michael and all of you, but just the reiterating faith and speaking in agreement and getting our minds right and getting in state on the Lord and getting rid of the distractions and not feeling, I guess, you know, like the enemy would constantly accuse me, you know, of just different things like, yeah, he's talking to you and, you know, accusing me of this and you're not that and you're still where you're at and blah, 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 you know how he does, right? Cause he hates us with the passion. He hates us because, you know, he does. He hates us and he wants us to give up and he wants us to think we're nothing and just go back. And, like you, you know, like Debbie, what you're, you know, what you were sharing. And it's like, he's done that on me too. Just give up. You know, I'm like, where would I go? I can't go. I can't go anywhere, you know? You know, and plus we've all come to that place where we're past the point of giving up and going back. We're held accountable to what we know, and we're not losers. You know, we're not losers. And, you know, the devil's the loser, and he's trying to put that, you know, garbage on us. But, you know, we just keep casting it down and saying, well, wait a minute. No, you start thinking on the promises, and you start thinking about who God says that we are. And, you know, and speak in faith, and that just shuts the enemy up, and praising God and thanking him and reminding the devil he's nothing. He's already defeated, and he has no armor, and he has no authority, and he has no power. And he's a liar, and I don't accept these evil thoughts. They're not Jesus speaking to me, and it's not my mind. It's, you know, I have the mind of Christ, and, you know, just using that sword against him, you know? And it's all day. We're in war. I have to remind myself when I wake up. Okay, you're in war. Okay, if I need a reminder, I get one. You know, something that comes and attacks, that we're in war. Anyway, I was blessed by the word that the Lord gave you, Debbie, and I'm grateful for that. And you know, just, you know, there is no more time. You know, we're here. The tribulation is going to begin any time. And Lord, help us all be ready. And the rest, when you come, that you will find faith here in us, and we'll be at rest and at peace, and, you know, looking for our you know, our Lord and Master to come back. You know, he's to come back and for the, you know, choosing us. You know, going into the King's house, y'all. Praise the Lord. Take that, Satan. You're defeated. You are Amen. Defeated. You are.
Amen. See there, we already got another Southern Belle here from California. Already talking y'all. Go on with yourself, girl. That's great.
You, yeah, you rub off. You rub off. You know.
Oh, my. Thank you, Judy. That was good encouragement. Go ahead, Joe.
Morning, everybody. Last week, Friday morning, I should have confessed before you all, was the Lord gave that first day. He gave me a miracle, because I was just reading that day about quantum faith of David, but you and Michael, you and David teach us about. I was just reading it, and I was making myself a shake. I put all my fruit in and the juice and the thing, and I put it on a liquidizer, and I just put it on. It just started, but it doesn't work anymore. So I change the plug and I shake it a bit, and so I'm not sure what is going to happen. And I commanded to believe, devil to believe, and nothing happened. And so, oh no, no, maybe I must bought myself something. And number one, because this one's old. So I thought, no, not going to worry. And I was standing in the kitchen. I thought to myself, I remember you all talk about, you have to self, you vision yourself about it. And I was just thinking, close my eyes, and I vision myself. Liquidizer is working. I said, no, this is working. Yeah, that's it. And I came here, and I put it on, and just put it on the next step, and it starts working again. And Lord gave me that victory over it. So I was feeling guilty about not confessing on Friday morning, but Lord gave me victory about it. It's, he's done so much about me. So let me see. You got so much patience with me that I cannot describe how I feel, how good you are, because of he's showing me so much about myself and learning and teaching, and I'm sure you got a plan for us all a lot of times. So I just want to say that so the Lord has been awesome with giving me that miracle, and then I just won't confess it, but thank you, Lord, for giving me the victory to finish that cycle. That's finished now. That's now. There's now new in the Lord. He's giving me a new life, new direction. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Joe. Good testimony. Praise the Lord. Woo! All overcomers. Overcomer. I'm an overcomer. Y'all don't want me to sing that song. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Okay, I had a question. I put it in the chat earlier. And the question was, which is more incapacitating to us? Is it being spiritually blind or being physically blind? Now, you have to think about that for a moment. And what I would ask, you know, you to focus on is which comes first, which is more real to us. Let's see here. I'll give you a little hint. You know, the realm of the spirit, of course, is true reality. The natural realm we're physically in is a foreshadow of the spiritual realm. So we're living in a dark realm, a shadow or a foretaste of what the truth is. The scripture teaches us that you and I are seated where? Together with him right now. We're in that right now in Ephesians 2 and 6 in the heavenly places. Right? Now, can you go from there? You see what I'm talking about? The things in the spiritual realm are more real to us than the things in the natural realm. So when you're spiritually blind, you don't have any choice. You don't have anything but your flesh. Right? Is anybody not understanding what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah, Debbie, did you just signify?
I was okay? Just saying yes, amen. Okay. But that was my thought, though, when you first shared that. I said, well, the spiritual is more is the reality. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, the spiritual is where we're going to spend eternity, right? Yeah. And that's what's going on around us also. That's exactly what's going on around us. What we've done in the past is to overexercise these natural senses until we become so dependent on them that we've neglected the development of our spiritual senses. And that's to our detriment. But now, the spiritual is where our focus ought to be right now. We were born again, not a natural man, but a spiritual man. And if we fail to grow in our ability to function in and become attenuated to the spiritual, we're in essence born incomplete, being spiritually blind and deaf. And we're spiritually handicapped. How many of you been in a meeting and felt the anointing? We all have. We all have felt the anointing. Then you were in the spirit. You were in the spirit. Okay, I'm going to be quiet and let y'all go ahead. Go ahead, Julie.
Just something that helps me is like sometimes I'll look at the simple definition of something. And when you said, you know, incapacitate, you know, is you're deprived of strength or the ability, you're disabled, you're disqualified, you're ineligible. You know, you have no, it's a depravity, you know, you can't, it makes you not able to do something. You know, so it's like we're saying which is more. It's like obvious. I think it's spiritual. We have to, you know, if we can't see ourselves in our imagination and believe what God says about us, then, you know, then we are incapacitated. You know, if we can't see it, or if we have a negative attitude, that does the same thing, right? That's kind of how I was seeing that. So, you know, it's all the faith thing. It's the assurance and putting the word of God in your heart and confessing it and you know, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the spirit, you know, that does, that helps a lot. Or praising God and singing, you know, putting, you know, I know Missy's done this before, find, you know, that song that just picks you right. You have to find a song that makes you feel good and gets your focus where it should be. And you're praising God for who he is. And, you know, and oh, my soul rejoice. I like that song by Crowder. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Is that 100 miles? That song. Oh, my soul rejoice. Oh, my soul rejoice. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, you know? Yeah. And we have to do that. And when you sing it, you know, there, it does something inside of you, you know, it changes, you know, from going down here to up here. Praise God. Amen. That's all I want to
say. Yeah. Thank you, Julie. That brings up something that I do quite a lot. How many of you have a special music that you listen to when you pray in the spirit? Or do you? Yeah, I do. I do. I use the same hour-long thing that I do most of the time, and it's Paul Wilbur's Jerusalem Arise. Okay, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I just had that thinking about the, you know, the seeing in the spirit as opposed to seeing in the carnal or in the flesh. And one thought that I had is that seeing in the spirit, or seeing, well, let's just put it that way, seeing in the spirit, you also have a need to understand what to do with it, how to apply it, how do you apply that seeing. From that, it's like when you said, it was Ephesians 2 or 6 or whatever it was, that we are seated at the right hand of God in Christ. How do I apply that? What does that mean to me? What does it mean? I don't know how this applies, but I got this picture of coming up to a stop sign, driving your car and coming up to a stop sign, and 99.9% of the time, you drive and you come up to the stop sign and you stop and you look both ways or whatever, and then you proceed on because that's, you know, that's what the law is. You have a stop sign there, boom, you have to stop and proceed, afterwards, etc. But if you come up onto that intersection at that stop sign one day, and you drive up there and there's a police officer standing in the middle of the intersection, and he's directing traffic and waving you on, you don't stop at the stop, even though that stop sign says stop, you don't stop. You're following that one, that higher authority, standing in the midst of the intersection, waving you on. You're following his guide. And even though 99% of the time you come up there, there's no police officer there in the intersection. The stop sign is there. You stop in accordance to the law and do everything that way. But when that police officer is there and you're now, he is the law. He is the law that overcomes or overrules that written stop sign. And so there's, how do you apply that to the spirit, and how do you make that application with the Lord? You are, you know, obviously we are here in this realm on this earth, in whatever jurisdiction or level of authority you are underneath a government and whatever, and you, we live in accordance to these laws. But then, when necessary, the Lord directs us specifically to go in a certain direction or do certain things or do something or, participate in a certain way. And it's not that you are breaking a law in doing that, but you are moved out of that normal realm of, shall we say, cause and effect or the rules or whatever it would be. And now you're listening to his voice and listening to the spirit and being guided by the spirit. And in so doing, you're in a different authority structure. You're in a different level of authority. Now, how does that apply to the world, to the situations that we're in, or the conditions that we find ourselves in, or whatever it would be? But you know, and it's that thing of listening to the Lord and learning to apply these truths, learning through prayer to intercede and avail of the Word of God and take these promises and apply them to our lives and the lives of those around us in certain ways. And function in accordance to that spirit, in accordance to that authority that we've been given. So I guess I'm kind of rambling right now, but anyway, that seeing obviously is essential and absolutely necessary, but we also have another step after that in application and how do you put this into effect and how do I walk in it? How do I do it? I guess so. Anyway, that's kind of where I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, you said it, the purpose for the spiritual eye openings and the ear openings is to what? Why do we praise and why do we get into the spirit when we do our daily stuff? And I say stuff, but that's trying to, because we want to listen and hear God, don't we? We want to hear, we do these things to be in the spiritual, to get into the spiritual in order for us to hear the Lord and start talking to him. When we hear the Lord, that's when we, and like Debbie said, you have a pen and your paper there so you can take down what the Lord says to you. And that's instructions for you, and probably for the, you know, whatever. And you also, when you're walking, a lot of times when I walk, I pray in the spirit. I know a lot of y'all do too. You pray in the spirit all the time. And when you pray in the spirit, you hear God say things to you. Because you're constantly looking for what God wants for out of you to lead you and to guide you. The Holy Spirit's job. is to leave in God's. Yeah, you can go ahead.
It just came to me as you were talking, Michael, is we do all that to get into the spirit because God is spirit. He's not a physical being. He's spirit, and we're spirit. So we do what we need to do to converse with God in the spirit. I mean, yeah, it's in our heart and our mind and with our voice and because that's where we are. But, you know, he wants us to be in the spirit because that's where he is and that's who he is. And we're becoming more and more in the spirit, you know, dwelling in heavenly places in the spirit realm and becoming more spiritual beings. You know, I think, you know, and he says, draw close to me, you know, and I will draw close to you. It's like, well, he's spirit. You know, we don't see him in the natural. You know, anytime anyone does see him or the angels is in the spirit, you see them. They're not physically there in the physical realm, but they can manifest physically, I guess what I'm saying. But, you know, it's a spiritual thing. So those who don't have the Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, for gifting them that gift of the spirit because, and they think, it'll change their lives. You know, just, I know I talked to somebody who said that they did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they know their life changed, but they thought that's all there was, you know, they didn't pursue it any further. And, you know, I think they just got hung up in religion and, you know, just false doctrines and that kind of thing, but they didn't, you know, really grow a whole lot more in that. And they just think, well, I got it. You know, I got it. And I know things changed and I felt change. But that's just like, oh, that's only the beginning. You know, it's a growth, you know. But anyhow, I know that Lord's going to bring everybody in to where they're supposed to be. And they'll get revelations because that's been our prayers for them. You know, praise the Lord.
Amen. You know, when you're into the spiritual realm, think of it this way. Think of it this way. In Genesis, I believe it's in Genesis, where the Lord talks about, I may be mistaken here, it may be Hebrew, but anyway, he was talking about the waters, the expanse of the waters, the whole waters in the whole world. He could put in the span of his hand. You know what the span of the hand is? It's from the thumb to the end of the fingers. That's how big the spiritual realm is, the kingdom of God is. It's not this little bitty earth that we're on. This is just nothing. The spiritual realm is infinite. It's an infinite thing. It's no time, no, you know, it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the ever, amen. That's it. So what he's telling us is the spiritual realm is more like us than we actually believe. How many of you, I asked this a while ago, how many of you been in a meeting and you felt the anointing? You felt the physical presence of the Lord in your body. That's feelings, right? That's touch. How many of you have smelt things from the Lord? I have. And I knew it was from the Lord. I felt it. I smelled it in a church and I smelled it up on top of the hill overlooking Parkville, a town in Arkansas. Came up over there and I said, I know that smell. That's the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Listen, went to Buddy and I went to praising God. That smell. How many of you have seen the Lord in a physical presence, the Shekinah glory? They talk about it in Azusa Street. They saw this Shekinah glory would come down and the babies would play underneath the pews in that, and they were all very quiet. That was looking and seeing the Lord. In every instance, how many of you have heard the chorus of the angels before? I haven't, but I know people who have. have heard the chorus of the angels praising God. And then there's, oh, I know you've all tasted heavenly food. Maybe I ought not have said that. But anyway, what I'm saying is this, the spiritual realm is the more reality, is more reality to us, should be and will be, and is coming to that than anything, than our fleshly realm. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it more and more each day. I see angels. I see Jesus. Y'all do too. Y'all see angels and you see Jesus. And more people in our fellowship are starting to see him. I'm getting confirmations from 2 and 3 and 4 people, Debbie and Chuck and I don't know, a few more are starting to see him too. And I know some of you have too. It's something that God wants us to be. Listen, what happens when you get into the spiritual realm? Anything can happen. You can be translated from here to the top, on top of an airplane to get somebody down that's lost. Remember that story? Remember that story? Yeah. You could be translated to another country and be healing people out in the streets, bringing people back to life, and then go back home. You could be like that pastor in Russia that had 3 churches that were 1,000 kilometers apart. Every Sunday, he'd preach at them. He'd just get through with one, his home church, and he'd put his tie, straighten his tie up, put his coat on, walk out the back door, and then he'd walk up the steps of the next church. When he'd get through with that, he'd do the same thing and do the last church. And to do that, he'd get ready to go home. And he'd step outside, and the next thing he knew, he was walking up his steps to his house. That's walking in the Spirit. People over in Eurasia, they're going to these little islands out there that have no bridges or no way to get to them other than walking on water. The Lord told him, I told you to go over there and give the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. But Lord, he said, take your step. And they just went out there in the water, got about knee deep, as far as it went. And they walked all the way over to the islands. Sometimes they wouldn't have to even get wet. They'd walk over to the islands. After they figured out that God was going to get them over there, they never did word about it from then on. Lord tell them to go to an island, they just walk over there, over the water. That's living and walking in the spiritual realm. And when God tells you to do something, what he tells you to do, don't worry about how it's to be done. But Lord, I ain't got no money, I can't go. Don't worry about it, he'll translate you over there. I want you to go to South Africa and pick up Joe and bring him back home. But Lord, I ain't got no money to get on a plane and get Joe on a plane and get him back over here. No, you don't say that. He said, okay, Lord, I'm going to get ready in the morning. I'm going to pack my little ditty bag and I'm going to go over there and grab Joe. We might even go out and eat. And then you're going to bring us back. That's the way God works. If he tells you to do something, just believe he's going to do it and get you there and get you fulfilled. He's going to fulfill that destiny for you. If he tells you to go out in the woods and stand under a certain tree at midnight and preach the word of God, do it. But God, there ain't nobody out there. I was for one guy. Went out there, Lord, do you help me to preach the gospel? Did not say preach the gospel, preach the gospel. So he started preaching the gospel. Guy up in the tree was fixing to kill himself. Came down and gave his life to Jesus. Midnight, for goodness sake. Just do what the Spirit tells you to do. You know? That's why he wants us to be walking in the spiritual realm, so we can hear him. John G. Lake was in a truck, was in a car with his wife and kids in South Africa. I believe it was South Africa. Could have been over here. I don't remember. But anyway, he was going down and the Lord told him, said, veer to the left now. So he went all the way across the opposing traffic lane and went into the ditch over there. And just as soon as he stopped over there, a big logging truck came around the corner there on his side of the road and kept him and his kids and his wife from getting killed because he was listening to the Spirit. That's where God wants us. And that's where I want to be. And I think we're all getting there too. I know we are. I know we are. And what we have to do is keep praying. Look, praying the Spirit a lot, that keeps you in the spiritual. That's a door into the spiritual, is praying in tongue, praying in the Spirit. How many times in your past, I know that some of you, if not all of you, have had a time when you knew God kept you from something bad. So that's why God wants us to be always cognizant of the spiritual. And keep our minds, that's why I say keep your mind continually on the Word and on Jesus. That's the Word. I'm taking it after David now, and I'm not anybody. I'm going to tell you something. You don't know how bad I was. Anyway, I ain't going to tell you either. Anyway, I started taking after David. He gets, when he's not reading, he's listening to the Bible. Always listening to the Bible. And what he's doing, he's getting acclimated to the Word of God. Acclimated to the Word of God, and he knows. And that's where discernment comes from too, guys. That's where discernment comes from, is knowing the Word of God. When you know the Word of God, you can't be deceived. That's where wisdom comes from too. What did Jesus say he was? In the Psalms, he's in wisdom, right? He said he was wisdom. Anybody else? I'm talking too much. I hope you're getting encouraged, really. But that's what we need. We need to be encouraged to stay in the Spirit all the time. Anybody got anything they want? What I do, shut everybody up. I hope I did. Oh, yeah. One thing. Thursday night. Thank you, Judy. Thursday night, remember this, communion. We're going to have communion Thursday night. And I'll send out a email tonight. So we'll probably have a big crowd. I don't know if David's going to show up or not, but we can all join in and talk about communion, what it's about, what it's for. Or I could just do it myself. Anybody got any questions? Yeah, that's right, Barbara. To where would we go? You have the words of life. He says he's coming suddenly. Yeah, I believe he's already here. Lord bless the liquidizer, Benita says. Because God is spirit, Jesus said. Okay, I got that. All right. Anybody got any questions? Anybody got any answers? Anybody got something else they want to talk about? Yeah, Debbie.
I have a question, but it's not related. Anna asked this last night at the meeting. She asked me if to ask you or in the end David or you or David about posting the word to the Signal chat. So those who aren't, who don't get it any other way.
Sure. Yeah, that's not a problem.
For any words, if anybody gets something, we can use the chat that way.
I don't think it's a problem. I don't see how it would be. Okay. Yeah, that's a good word. I like it. It's an encouraging word to me. Bless my socks off. And I still got them off, too. All right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to send out an email later on for communion. Talks about communion, and I'll go ahead and put the blog on there also. That way you'll have a copy of it. If you want it, it'll be there. All right. Anybody got anything else they want to talk about? What's been on your mind lately? And don't say going home. I ain't going out. Yeah, Patrick.
I had a question. I was listening to David's last teaching on timelines. And he mentioned something about that you guys were getting emails from the same, the way I understood it is that you were getting emails from the same people, but one, was on the positive, I guess, repentant timeline. Or the faith timeline, and the other one was in a negative timeline. But they were both from the same person. Is that correct?
The way the timelines work, if you got one timeline of doubt and unbelief, and you have another timeline of faith. And the one with the doubt and unbelief is the demonic trying to tell you that we're not getting what you're saying we're getting, but we've already been talking to the right timeline and know that they are. And it's just the enemy trying to distract you and tell you and keep them alive. Keep them online so that they won't have to leave. I'm not doing it. Here's what happened, but we'd tell them, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Okay. The one that believed it, had faith to believe it, started receiving. Okay. They started receiving and the other timeline was one, I don't believe that. We're not getting anything. We hadn't gotten anything. How many of you know faith takes a little while for things to manifest? And during that period of time, you have a fight with yourself, right? You have a fight with your faith, and you have a fight with doubt and unbelief. That's basically the way to put it. And we kept getting these emails from the doubt and unbelief people saying that we're being attacked, we're doing it, they're killing us, they're da 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 da. We'll go back to the other one. And that, no, that's the, we've got money, we got provisions, everything is fine, everything is cool. The books are going out where people are getting saved. And then finally, here's what happens. You have to ignore the doubt and unbelief. And it finally goes away. And that's what happened. It disappeared. We no longer get emails from the doubt and haven't in quite some time. And I know it sounds kind of weird, but it was happening in the flesh. And what happens is this right here. You have mind that doubts that you're ever going to get healed or you're ever going to get delivered or the provisions are not coming. And da, 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 da. I just don't believe God can hear my prayers and all that stuff. That's the negative timeline. And as long as you hold it up, it's going to stay there. And that's exactly what you're going to get. But if you confess and believe and confess and believe what the Word of God says, then you're going to receive it. And God was showing us in the natural how it works. Quantum faith. Timeline. Same thing. I don't know if that helps you any, Pat.
So this happens within us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't tell me that you don't have doubts and at times about God going to answer your prayer.
No, but my thought was when I listened to it, let me just put it this way, the doubting part of me that rises up doesn't have the ability to send out an email saying in reference to that, and the faith part of me does. So I didn't understand what the
okay.
When you said you received the emails from, was this emails that you received one person?
No, this is from many people in the same group.
Okay. From the group.
Yeah, but one group was giving us the doubt and unbelief, and another group in another timeline was giving us the, hey, man, we got everything. Glory to God, we're getting all of that. They were getting their prayers answered. The ones that were doubting and unbelief were not getting them. And they were getting killed, and they were getting blasted and all this stuff. Finally, the doubt and unbelief went away. They just disappeared. The Lord was showing us this is the fight that goes on. Now, don't tell me that you've never told anybody, well, I just don't think God's heard me. I just don't know if I'm going to get my prayers answered. I prayed and prayed, and I ain't getting no answer. And you've told people that. Same thing. I'm not talking about you, Pat. You've heard people to do that. That's what.
But the devil uses that on us.
Yes. Same way.
Because he wants to get us proclaiming that negative timeline.
And that's why.
As opposed to confessing and praising God for the faith and for the provision he's already given us.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it. You got it. But we saw it actually. Me and David, Brandy, and Kathleen saw it actually happening. Did we get these emails from both of them? One of them said, man, thank you so much for whatever it was that went on. The other one said, oh man, these people are killing us. It's just this. This is going on. This is going on. Help, 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 help. We've already helped. It's already been done. Lord did it. It's all from the Lord. And he was just showing us how the battle goes on in our mind. I believe, that's just me, but I believe he was showing us how it goes. And whichever one that you lay hold on is the one you're going to get.
So I understand now. When you said that you just ignored them.
Never answered the emails on the negative side, on the wrong timeline. And that's what the devil doesn't want. He wants you to answer him and acknowledge that, yeah, that's right. We're going to try to help you when you've already done it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because if you're functioning in that unbelief and the negative timeline, not believing,
the devil's won.
You can't. I won't say you can't be helped because that sounds hopeless, but the help that you need has to come from your own
knowledge,
giving up of that timeline, that unbelief, yes. Choosing to grab onto faith and mm-hmm. stand on that side of the equation.
Perfect.
And so in a certain sense, if a person is not willing to do that within themselves, there's nothing from the outside, whether it be counsel or, you know, whatever, can change that within them. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. It was an experience, I tell you, because I kept seeing these, gosh, we got to help these guys. We got to help them. And then the next thing you know, we get an email. Oh, thank you so much. You know, God, blah, 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 blah. And it was kind of confusing to me at first, but then David got explanations from the angels or from the Lord. I forget which. And then it started making sense. Yep. Okay. Praise God. Just like we talked about, that's the way it works. Okay, Missy.
Well, that's like, I guess you could say impersonating demons.
Yeah. That's a demon that's trying to get you to acknowledge doubt and unbelief.
Mm-hmm. Making you think that that's really that person, but it's really not.
That's a demon. That's right. Glad you brought that out. It is. Because the enemy doesn't want you to acknowledge God, does he? No. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
That's what Kathleen's experiencing, the imposter. She was saying that the son would be telling her about all this terrible stuff, but David's getting all this good news. And she was like, and she realized that's the imposter, the demons. And, yep. You know, yeah, it was weird, but I learned it from that experience.
Yeah. It's a war between the enemy and God in us. And which one are we going to allow to win? Go ahead, Julie. Okay, Missy, I'll get to you in a minute.
Just real quickly, I just wanted to share just a short, brief testimony. I shared with you all that I believed and I declared right here that I would not have any problems with my appliances as long as I lived here. And, you know, like my washer and dryer, you know, older than I've been here, you know, which is a long time. And I just said, no, I'm not going to have any problems. So on a couple incidences, I had my spin cycle on my washer, like was making this, it would stop and it was just like, it wasn't working. Well, you know, and I commanded it to, you know, to work and told the demon to get out of it and then told the angel to fix it. And it's like, I'm not receiving that. And I spoke what I spoke in agreement with the word. You all agreed with me and all that. And it started working. Well, just the other day, yesterday or the day before, I was doing a load of wash and I wasn't even thinking about it. And I heard the washer start to go on the spin cycle and then just stopped. And I'm like, no. And I rebuked the devil and I said, get out of my washing machine. You're not supposed to be there. There's nothing wrong with my machine. It works perfectly. I command the angels, make sure that demons get out of there. And it started working again. And it started to hesitate and it started to stop again. And I just ignored it. And I was like, thank you, God. It works perfectly and it's going to remain working perfectly like all my other appliances here. And it's like, and again, it's that doubt and unbelief, or am I going to believe? No, what I prayed and what I agreed with, and whether it be a healing or, you know, my appliance or whatever it is, it's just, you got to overcome the carnal reasoning and the thinking. And it's like, what's real and what's not? Jesus is real. The word of God is real. I don't care what the natural says. The devil has to obey me. It's written. Yep. And this is my confession, and I'm not departing from what God told me. And, you know, but it's still, it's like I had that opportunity, just like the thought came in my mind. It's like, I better call. No, I'm not going to call maintenance. There's nothing wrong. That thing is working just fine. You know, but those thoughts started going through my head just for a moment, you know. Oh, man. Nope, nope, nope. God's fixed it. Mm-hmm. And then,
praise God. That's awesome. Yeah, Missy.
Listening to Julie, I forgot what I was going to say now.
Okay. It's really important.
Bring it back, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. The timeline works just like quantum faith does. Quantum faith, if you remember, it starts out, it's just a cloud until you look at it. And once you look at it, that's when it goes into single, subatomic particles. And then what, it starts going to wherever you want it to be. And that's why, who was it that said this? I forget if somebody said this, but they said, you could change the color of your hair. It was Charles Caff. He said, you could change the color of your hair if you want to. See? You know, if you want blue hair, just go ahead. Or if you want hair, I can say that. I'm just saying. Just believe it. Just believe it. And start confessing it. That's the big thing. That's why I've been on confession here for the last couple of months. You're going to hear some more tomorrow, but it's essential that we start talking that. Start talking as an oracle of God. You know? Yeah, go ahead. Let me get Barbara, Missy, and I'll get right. Oh, did you remember what you was going to say? Okay, go ahead. I'll get right back to you, Barbara. Missy, finally, thank you, Lord, for that memory she had.
I hope Barbara's going to share what I think she's going to share. I hope she's going to share something that she told me. Anyway, you know, what the Lord's showing me is don't receive anything that's contrary to God's word, God's promises. Don't receive any curse. Don't receive anything negative that comes into your mind. You know, you just cast it down and you speak the opposite. You know, the enemy attacks my mind a lot with my family, and he tries to get me in vain imaginations. And I'm like, you know, and I, you know, I'm like, no, blah, 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 blah. You know, they're blessed. They're, you know, whatever, you know.
Well, that's a good point on anybody you talk about. We ought not to be talking bad about anybody, shouldn't we?
Right.
Lord, forgive me for doing that, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, where'd Barbara go? There she is. Go ahead, Barbara.
I'm here. I had an incident with my toilet, and it took a couple months, but it kept making like this, like when you go to flush it, it didn't want to fill up. It just kept spurting out water. I don't know how it just keeps spurting. It wasn't filling up. It wasn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. And I really wasn't bothered by it because, you know, it eventually, you know, would fill up and it was okay. And, I just sent the angel. I said, well, angels, you go fix that toilet, you know. And I just let it go. I don't know why it took a while because I just let it go. It really didn't bother me. And, but it did get fixed. It just miraculously all by itself, it just lined up. It, you know, it works now and it's not spurting anymore.
That's
so praise God. Yeah, that was the angel that fixed
Thank
it.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Yeah. The toilet don't need to be broke. Thank you, Lord. All right. Communion Thursday night. Lord, we thank you for blessing us tonight with lots of revelations and clarity. We just praise you from that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us, going to speak through us, you're going to talk through us, you're going to lead us, you're going to guide us, you're going to keep us, you're going to make, you are making overcomers out of us. We thank you for that. We are already overcomers. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word through Debbie. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed, you know.